Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning, Dr. Bryce Edwards. How are you?
Morning, Johnny. I'm great. Talking to you from Wellington.
Nice day down in Welly.
It is actually a bit chilly, but no, it's all good.
The sun is shining. Now, this morning we even start with Darlene Tana, who's decided to stay on in Parliament as an independent MP after, I guess, you say getting kicked out of the Green Party?
Yeah, so she was elected back at the 2023 election as a list MP for the Greens. She's fallen out with them when it became, when the scandal came out of her involvement or alleged involvement in her husband's exploitation of migrant workers. And so there was that investigation that was carried out by a lawyer for the Greens, and it did bad things, really. And so they wanted her to both resign from the party and resign from Parliament. She did the first. She resigned from the Greens, but she's sticking on. And this week, Darlene Tana has written a 7-page letter to Green members putting her case why she wants to stay. And it's because in about 8 days' time, I think it is, the Green Party are holding a special meeting, I guess online, where they're going to debate and decide whether to use the Waka-jumping legislation to boot her out of Parliament. And so she's trying to say, look, I'm still going to vote the same way as the Greens. It's unjust that I've been kicked out, so please keep me on.
What are the main arguments Darlene Tana is using to justify staying on as an independent MP?
Well, she said she's still doing the work. She's still doing the mahi. She's still stands for the same things as the Greens and the same things she was elected on. She says it would be hypocritical for the Greens to use the Waka-jumping legislation. And I think she's right on that, because the Greens have campaigned strongly and opposed this legislation for many years, and I think the Greens have opposed it for very good reasons, because they believe, or at least did in the past, that it gives too much power to parties to be able to get rid of dissident MPs, people that actually want to stand up into the leadership. Of course, I don't think Darlene Tana does fall into that category, but there's still the principle of whether the Waka-jumping legislation is something the Greens should embrace or not.
I mean, what are the potential implications for Parliament's proportionality if Darlene stays on as an independent MP?
Well, that's what the Waka-jumping legislation is there for. It's for this idea that, MP is a proportional system, that if an MP now leaves a political party during the course of a Parliament, proportionality is disrupted. The Greens, don't have their full strength. And so, but of course, Darlene Tana is saying, well, they do, because I'm still voting the same way. I'm not voting against them. I'm still, doing the same work. But yeah, the Greens are pretty angry about that, or at least the rest of the MPs are. And because it means they also lose some of their parliamentary budgets, they lose some of their allocation of questions they can ask in the debating chamber. And they just generally are finding her, a bit of an embarrassment, that they could do without.
Now, given the current situation, what could be the broader implications for parliamentary party discipline and the application of the party hopping laws in New Zealand?
Oh, look, I'm a big critic of this. I think that the Waka-jumping law is a bad one, and so I side with the Greens in the past, at least, that it tools dissent. I think we need parliaments whereby there's lots of debate and internal differences within political parties, and it's good to have maverick MPs, and Darlene Tana isn't really one of those. She, I think, is just an opportunist, but she's kind of the price we pay for having the people like Jim Anderton that left Labour over Roger Nomick, or even Winston Peters, Tariana Terrier when she left the Labour Party. These people shouldn't really be used as... I mean, the situation is rebel MPs never really start putting their head above the parapet if they think that they will be kicked out of Parliament as soon as they disagree with the party leadership.
Yes.
So that's why I think it's a bit chilling.
Yes. Okay. Now we've got a newish One News news poll about seats in Parliament in the next election. Now, given that the coalition government is projected to lose a few seats but still retain in power, what does this suggest about the current public perception of the government?
Well, the numbers went slightly down for the government, but not much. So National's still on 38%, ACT on 7%, New Zealand First on 6%, but the Labour Party's up 1, Greens down 2, Te Pāti Māori up 1. So really there's not a lot of change. We're seeing a lot of, I guess, fury and heat and arguments, especially around freaky issues, race relations, Māori wards on councils, but it's not really moving the dial much. I think the people that already support National are sticking with them and do seem to be relatively happy with what they're doing, and those that oppose them are staying with the opposition. So, this poll, I think, is one of the most stable ones I've seen for a long time.
And,
so it's actually quite interesting.
Yes.
How maybe people have just turned off politics, Johnny. I don't know, but there's lots of politics going on, but it's just not really, changing people's view. Although I should quickly add that, funnily enough, the preferred prime minister stakes, those preferring Christopher Luxon have actually gone up. So he's up 5 points to 28. So that's also quite surprising.
Okay, well, with the poll indicating that opposition parties are not making any significant gains, what strategies might Labour and the Greens adopt to shift the current dynamics in their favour?
Gee, Johnny, that's a big question.
You can give them some advice, they might be listening.
Oh, look, my feeling is that Labour needs to reconnect with its traditional base.
Yes.
It's not doing enough to show that it's actually on the side of lower socioeconomic groups, workers, and it kind of needs to go back to being a bit more of a old-fashioned left-wing party, I think, to win people over. But I don't know if that can be done under Chris Hipkins, so they might need a more sort of working-class leader than him. I don't know, the Greens are doing quite well. They're still up in the polls, doing better than they historically have done. But, they need to stop selecting people like Darlene Garner.
Okay. Now, how significant is the timing of the TVNZ poll, which shows public concern over the coalition's race relations policies, just in terms of its impact on the current government strategy and public perception?
Yeah. That was very interesting. So the poll asked people whether they thought the government's policies were making race relations better or worse, and we had, I think it was 46% saying they're making things worse. That's a bit alarming. But then, of course, you've got 10% of people saying they're actually making things better, and then 37% saying, they're staying the same. So really it's about one side saying they're getting worse and the other side saying they're the same or getting better. So it's pretty polarised. I think National and ACT New Zealand First probably won't really feel too told off by this poll. I think some commentators have suggested that it means they need to go back and reconsider a lot of their policies on race. But no, I don't think that's really what this poll is saying. I think it's probably saying that those that voted against the government at the last election are still pissed off with this government and can see they have their strong views about these policies being bad, but those that voted for them are probably just quite happy with them.
Yes. Okay. Now on to the banking, the banking sector. Nicola Willis has taken a strong stance against the banks, suggesting that they operate in a cosy pillow fight rather than a competitive market. How significant is this rhetoric in terms of actual policy change? And can we expect any action from the government?
Look, I think the key word there is rhetoric. But it has been, amazing what Nicola Willis, finance minister, has been saying this week. She's really been lashing out at the banks and saying that instead of competition, it's been a bit of a pillow fight between them. So she's suggesting that, the customers, the public are being let down from our mortgages. Our interest rates are too high. The money we make from our deposits is too low. We're not getting a good deal. And meanwhile, the big four banks, Australian-owned, are making about $7 billion of profit each year.
Obscene,
And so we've had this Commerce Commission report come out this week, which has been a year in the making. And so their job was to look at whether the banking system's working properly for customers, whether there's enough competition, or whether those big four have got something of a monopoly and they're just sort of taking the piss. The report has basically said they are taking the piss and that it's not competitive and we are being ripped off, but they also had to come up with some solutions to fix that. And none of their solutions, at least in my view, were particularly bold or radical. The main ones are to give KiwiBank some more money, to grow KiwiBank so it can be a bigger kind of state-owned competitor for the four Australian banks, and also to progress open banking a bit faster, i.e. increasing those technologies and mechanisms so that people can change banks easier, they can use other companies for their financial services. But overall, I would just conclude that it's not going to change much. Big talking from Nicola Willis, but no, I think it's business as usual.
I mean, okay, we've got another big question for you here, Bryce. I mean, and I'm just thinking about hope for change in the banking sector. What are the key factors that will determine whether any substantial reforms will be implemented in Aotearoa, in the banking sector? And how can, I guess, the public and policymakers push for meaningful change and get, I mean, everyone's obviously dissatisfied with high loan rates and low deposit rates and just getting screwed over by the Australian banks. Is there any potential for meaningful change?
Well, I think there is some potential, but it's just not likely to be picked up by this government. A lot of, at least academic experts on banking and, some pretty smart people made submissions saying that the banks, the way they operate in New Zealand, sort of has to be broken up. And so a lot of people looked at what happened in the telecommunications sector for about 20 years ago when the old telecom used to have a monopoly on all the communications. Mm. And then that was made to split up. And it was split up into Spark, into Chorus. And so you had a bit of separation between the people supplying the services and those that actually sell them to the public. And there's a suggestion that that same thing should be happening here. So basically, you have the big banks broken into smaller operating businesses, and they would then compete better. So I still think there's a chance of that happening, but yeah, I'd have to come to this government.
Okay. All right. Hey, Bryce Edwards, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us this morning here on BFM. Always a pleasure, mate. We shall look forward to speaking with you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Johnny.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.